Oh, okay. Let's do this. Huh. All right. Hey, for some reason. Hey, Ann Wooten Taylor's with us. She's back. Wow, wow, wow. Hey, my dear friend. I can't hear you. Oh, boy. Tell you what. I don't know what's going on here. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Awesome. How are you doing?
Oh, doing real good. First of all, how are you and the move? How did it go as smooth as planned?
For the most part, yeah. For the most part, funny story, we ended up moving technically for a period of 48 hours straight. So I had like 3 hours of sleep.
Oh boy.
A few bottles of water, a keto bar, maybe some yogurt in that time period. Our movers moved 2 completely full trucks and we still
were
carting stuff back and forth from our old house to our new house until about 6:10 that Sunday morning.
Wow.
And the mover showed up at 8 Saturday morning. And then Andre was moving stuff on Friday by himself while we were at work and school. You know, he took off that day. And we're still unpacking, which is why there's this lovely background that is not my new house.
I was going to say it's lovely.
Yeah. That's not our house.
Well, I'm sure the new house would be lovely as well. Or it is, really.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, wow. Dr. Demery, what's going on, my friend?
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you fine. Hey, what's going on out there in sunny California?
Well, it's nice, good weather.
Uh-huh.
Sky, things are wonderful. I'm just glad to be here.
I'm happy that you are here. And hopefully, Dr. Sims will join us a little later on in the broadcast. And I'm not sure about Brother Tisdale. I haven't heard from him. But anyway, glad to have you three. Oh, the three amigos, the original three here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Boomerang. Lots of stuff been happening. You guys already know. I don't need to tell you. Lots of stuff in the news. Crazy, crazy stories. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. But now if you know, if you've been paying any attention over the last several, I need to get some water. But anyway, over the last several years, you'll know that things have just gotten crazier.
Yep.
But anyway, voting, folks, is fast approaching. And I just can't emphasize the importance. We started talking about voting. We always talk about voting. But I think that over the last, couple of months or so, we've been really, throwing an emphasis that way because I don't know what you guys think about it in our listening, out there in our listening audience, rather, about voting and your importance. And do you really know the strength of that? I want to cover some of that, today, talk about that, the strength, the power of your vote. Because if you look at tools and there aren't many that us as citizens have, to really make changes. And I think, I want your take because, if you're going to make some changes, I mean, the vote is the really only way that you can do it. Now, some are trying to do it through violence right now. They're trying to intimidate. And I mean, I'm just hearing awful, awful, awful stories. And I believe this is, where is this? Was it in Georgia? I'm trying to think, correct me if I'm wrong, where you had these people sitting out, not only watching the ballot boxes, sitting out there with AR-15s. You know, that is absolutely ridiculous. So, that really upsets me because immediately the mayor of that city or somebody says, oh, no, this is not going to happen. Okay? Because if you go into the voting box and you know there's AR-15, there's a good chance you're not going. Some people aren't going.
It's voter intimidation. I mean, that's basically what it is.
It's against the law, isn't it?
Of course it's against the law, but you have these people are breaking the law. Not only are they breaking it, they're manipulating it as they try to do, you know, not just on January 6th, but even before that. Mm-hmm. And they're even changing it to suit their needs, which is my biggest concern. You know, what they've done in places like Georgia, where no, it wasn't legal to do what Trump wanted to do at the time when he was trying to steal votes, but they fixed it so that it is now, you know, where they can do what it is he wants to do. So you've got a lot of issues, surrounding this electoral, session. You know, it takes you back. If you want to look back in history, it takes you back to what was happening during Jim Crow times, what was happening, you know, prior to women's suffrage. The difference is, it's happening to everybody that is not a diehard Trump Republican. Mm-hmm. If you are not a MAGA Republican, it's happening to you. And I think, on the one hand, this, you know, this could be a defining moment, in U.S. history, in the sense of whether or not we're going to become an authoritarian nation, or if by some accident we actually finally become the United States, because you got people, you know, who don't look like Black people, who don't look like Hispanic people, who don't look like Native American people, who don't look like Asian people, who are finally getting a taste of what it feels like to have their, you know, their rights threatened, their right to abortions threatened, their, you know, their right to vote threatened. Not only that, you know, what it means to really be an American is threatened. Freedom in every sense of the word, you know, free speech. They're trying to, you know, make the media look more in their image. You ought to be really concerned about what's happened recently at CNN and Twitter. Those are some very concerning situations, that have taken place. I mean, CNN, if things, there's the potential there for it to become a lot more like Fox News.
Yeah.
A lot more like those other right-wing news stations, given their change in leadership. And we're not going to talk about Twitter. I mean, you got a person who's basically South African born, and you know what they're like. I mean, Elon Musk is not, I'm not a fan of his. And the right wing speaks his language. You know, the white nationalists, the racists, they speak his language. So I'm really concerned. Well, everybody should be concerned, I guess I should say, about the dialogue that's going to be taking place on, or allowed to take place on Twitter now, with him at the helm. I mean, it remains to be seen. He claims, you know, that he's not going to do all those things that he was going to do initially, but we have a very serious problem here. And this election is going to put that in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. Are we going to move more towards an authoritarian nation, or are we going to do our part as American citizens to protect democracy here in this country, where freedom is the fundamental basis of what America's supposed to be?
You know, I tell you, I well said, and you brought up a few excellent points there, that freedom, is it, you know, our freedom is at stake, folks. It certainly is, because you take, like, I was so sad to hear about, CNN, because I used to watch CNN all the time, you know, so now I've been going back, I used to go between CNN and MSNBC. So hopefully it'll stay there. But I knew it'd be a problem, and because when I first heard about it, that this right wing, billionaire, decided to buy CNN. Okay. And so that's where a lot of changes have been made. And quietly, some of the, hosts are leaving. There was a gentleman by the name of Brian. I forgot his name, white gentleman, but he was honest with the news.
They basically forced him out. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't, Yeah, go on, please.
If I know who, if I'm thinking about who you're talking about, I didn't watch his show, but I heard he was, it was a very good show. And it had something to do, I'm thinking, with, in the title, with Nation in it, something like that. And anyway, if I'm not mistaken, he basically got fired.
Yes, yes. And, you know, yeah. And I didn't get a clear reason why. But they disagreed with him frankness, for instance, you know. It was almost like, you could tell that they were turning in. But see, this is the thing about it. And I'm glad you brought up, Dr. Demery, I want you to jump in here. I'm glad you brought up CNN and these news outlets, because that's where a lot of people are getting their news. People don't read these days. Newspapers, I don't know, do they still deliver newspapers? If so, everything is done, you know?
I believe they do still deliver them. Okay. It's just not as, you get a lot of digital, newspaper articles.
Now, right. And so this is the thing about it. People believe what they see on TV. Mm-mm. You know, the vast majority of people, believe it because it's on TV. Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard a lot of people say one time, well, they wouldn't put it on TV if it weren't true. I said, are you serious? You know, have you ever watched the Wizard of Oz?
Right.
Okay. How many cartoons? You know, and things of that nature, you know, Gunsmoke. Yeah, you ever go back that far? But anyway, but the thing, no, it is a tool that can, it's a double-edged sword. I love TV. I love watching my sports. There are certain programs I like. Mm-hmm. It might be some documentaries that I like or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up, I used to watch The Young and the Restless with my mom.
Oh my gosh, this still comes on.
is Victor still alive?
Is Hook still like cricket?
Victor.
I think he is. I don't watch it.
Right, you know, I haven't.
It's more progressive. I think the last time I was off and I was somewhere and they had it on, you know, when you go get your hair or your nails done. I think they had a gay guy propose to his lover.
Okay.
In front of everybody. So, you know, that was when I was watching it way back in the day, that was totally, you know, right. Something that would have been unheard of. So it's a lot more progressive than it used to be. I think I saw, you guys remember that show Family Matters, that used to come on with Urkel?
Yes.
With the little boy, Richie or whatever his name is, he's one of the characters on The Young and the Restless. He's all grown up. But anyway,
wow.
I think the argument that they've been making to bring it back around to where we were is that they want to see a more, balanced reporting, in terms of the right wing side and the left wing side. And I'm sorry. I think that the reporting has been pretty balanced. I think what you're getting from mainstream media is them telling you the truth about the right wing side of things, as well as the left wing side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't been just singing President Biden's praises just because he's a Democratic president. You know, mm-hmm. when he does something, they call him out on it, just like they did, you know, with every other president. So I don't think that they're being biased at all, but I do think that they are they're doing their jobs, because part of democracy is free speech, meaning free journalism, you know, them being able to operate without the government interfering in them doing their job. So they got a vested interest in making sure democracy sticks around, before we become, you know, one of these places where journalists get murdered on a regular basis just for telling the truth.
Uh-huh. Know? Yep. You're exactly right. But, you know, and I tell you, I remember when I was a real fan of CNN, and they had some right-wing kook parts on there. I mean, just, Liars, liars. Oh, you know, they would get on and the question would be asked, and that was early in Trump's presidency. Have he ever lied? And this guy was up to 20 million. I mean, 20,000 of that. He might be up to 20 million if anybody kept a record. But, at least 20,000. I think he was only a couple of years into his presidency, right? I mean, look. And so, and the question would be posed to some of these right wingers there. Has Trump ever lied? No, he's never lied. You know, then you had people like Kellyanne Conway who talk faster than a freight train so you don't get anything in, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, she's good at that. Rattling off nonsense. Remember, she's I think she birthed that phrase, alternative facts. I think she did that. But getting back to
her.
Yes, she did. I mean, just the craziest, craziest stuff. And you know, but it wasn't as bad as it is now or as blatant as it is now. Hey, Dr. Sims. And we're talking about, how some of these people, how can they be so brainwashed? And I got a 3-minute clip I'm going to play for you guys in a minute. How could they be so brainwashed? I don't stay up late at night thinking about it because there is no trying to figure this mess out. It's just insanity. Right? Mm-hmm. And because how can people say, I tell you what, I'm going to talk to Dr. Sims. I'm going to play this clip here for you after we speak to Dr. Sims. But to prove that people are being brainwashed by the TV, Dr. Sims, Ann and I, we were talking about, the Young and the Restless, some of these soap operas, right? Dr. Denver, you ever watched the soap operas?
No, never did.
Okay, good man. All right, but now, hey, I used to watch it, right? But the thing that got me, my mom was a huge, like I said, she got me watching Young and the Restless. And some people used to watch with General Hospital and Days of Our Lives, As the World Turns, you know, all these, right? And so people would discuss these like it was real life. Man, did you see what happened? Did you see what Nikki did? Oh my goodness. Oh my God, I can't believe that Paul lost his detective's license. You know, I mean, they would go and they would talk to it like it's real. Like these characters on TV, they were talking about like they knew these people, you know, and they knew the TV character, but they would talk about it and they'd get in arguments about it. Well, you know, no, blah, blah, blah. And that was a form of people relating to something that is fictional, right? But now taking a little bit further, when you talk about these fools out here sitting in front of the polls with AR-15s or AK-47s, what it is, watching the ballot box, what in the world are they supposed to be doing? Why are they there? What brought them there? What motivated them? What fairy tale did they believe? So people are being constantly brainwashed. And we talk about these people out here that are finally figuring out that their rights are being taken away from them. And we're talking about people who don't look like us, okay? And they finally figuring it out. My rights are, but again, guess what? And then after we go around the circle here, then why are they still voting for them? Why are they still voting for the people who are taking their rights away from them?
Okay, because they're falling for foolishness. Number one, you know, I think it's completely asinine to blame the economy on President Biden.
How is it
his fault? It's the global economy, folks, is trashed. I mean, you've had not just the pandemic, but you've had supply chain issues.
Mm-hmm.
You've had, that's reverberated in the shortages. You got problems with the housing market. You've got problems with gasoline going up. All this stuff is being exacerbated by the problems over in Russia, you know, starting mm-hmm. a war with Ukraine, and the fact that China is one of the few places on earth, I give people, you know, their props, who care enough about their people to try to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Everybody else is more concerned about their bottom line, their money. But since China is one of the, you know, the second largest economy, I think, on the planet, when they shut things down, especially since they do a lot of production that's translated overseas, then guess what? It affects everybody else. Mm-hmm. So this is not President Biden's fault, folks.
That's right.
And to blame it on him, I think is real. It's just as stupid as Trump taking credit for the economy. It wasn't his to take credit for.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, when he opened his mouth some days, when he got done speaking, the stock market would tank because he said something so stupid.
Real stupid.
you know, so I think that's problem number one. Then problem number two, you know, they're talking about how old he is, and you knew he was old when you elected him the first time. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. That has not changed. The only difference is 2 years have gone by since he was elected, and he's 2 years older. Uh-huh. So if you want a younger person in office, then perhaps when a younger person runs, you should, you know, cast your vote for that person. My thing is, I don't really care if President Biden was responsible for tanking the economy. I don't care if he was responsible for, you know, the supply chain issues. Every day of the week, he is better than Trump.
Every single day of the week. I go along with that.
He has not done anything that would make me vote for Trump over him. Mm. Nothing. And if you are one of those people who will look at what President Biden has done, whether you think it's good or bad, versus what Trump has done, and then decide, oh, I think I want Trump back. Trump has basically broken our democracy, mm-hmm. and we don't know if it's going to recover. I mean, he made us a laughingstock on the world stage, and we are still trying to get our credibility back. I mean, I think, you know, President Biden has done a really good job in helping, especially in terms of the war in Ukraine, and getting that back on track. But, you know, other people point to Afghanistan. Okay, first of all, Trump set that in motion. And you have a president who's got to clean up the mess that Trump made. I don't know about you, but when, like right now, the reason why this fake background is up at my house is because we're moving into it. We moved in about a week ago, but it's still a mess because we're still unpacking everything. Sometimes when you are cleaning up, you make a bigger mess before you get everything in order. That's my whole point. And I think the wreck that Trump made is that type of a thing. It's like what happened after Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ian. You got a big mess, but in order to clean it up, you got to make a bigger mess mm-hmm. in the beginning. But that's just my opinion. Reverend Dimmer, you've been pretty silent, and you might have a different one.
Dr. Dimmer.
Yeah, we lost Ann, I think.
No, we got Ann here. Ann's here.
Oh, but I think she was talking, and it sounded like her audio went out or something.
Not over here. Tell you what, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Dr. Sims, and then we're going to go to you, Dr. Demery, because I have a few questions for you, too, but I want to go to Dr. Sims. Hey, Dr. Sims.
Hi, how's everybody?
We're doing real good. Doing real good.
Can you all hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine. Yes. So I want your take, Desert, and say it a lot. And we want to take any part of that and dissect it, put it back together, and give us what you got.
Well, you know, the only thing that I have a problem with, whenever the Republicans mess up stuff and break it, they don't take responsibility for what they've done.
Exactly.
And whenever we get a Democratic president in there, he's going into a hellish mess. They don't tell everything. I watched Trump when he was in office, and I don't know if anybody else took note. When Obama was in there, they made it like he didn't do absolutely too much of nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, then how come he was in his office
all the time,
canceling out everything, overriding and canceling out, I'll use that terminology, everything that President Obama did. But yet them folks would not give him the credit for what he'd done. So it made it even look like to his own people that he did absolutely nothing. And
right.
That is a spirit of deception. And also they are manipulating, and they're still manipulating. They're putting these jokes in as running for candidacy. Many of them are a joke, okay? Mm-hmm. And I mean, the ignorance of Herschel Walker, oh my goodness.
Oh gosh.
It just supersedes anything I've ever heard of. I could put one of my grandchildren up in there and they would do better than him.
Okay? Right.
Okay? Right. But that joker is a mess. But see, this is the thing. Birds of a feather do flock together.
Amen.
It is what it is. And that spirit of intimidation, them sitting there with their AK, whatever they got. But you know, we got to stop hiding and come on out with it. If they going to sit there, let us sit there right next to them. That's what I say, okay? And then two, we'll see who does what, because they are doing the spirit of intimidation. And then my question is, why are they allowed to do so?
Exactly.
Why are they allowed to do so? How come the police are not swooping in there and taking these jokers up out of here? They're walking around free in their skivvies and all this kind of stuff. They know what they're doing. And it's really getting on my last nerve, because this is supposed to be a freedom of speech, a freedom of will, a democracy that we're able to vote the way we want to vote,
right. Period.
But now it's getting to a dictatorship. And I tell folks, I said, listen, it's going to get worse before it gets better. This is just a brief storm, and it's coming to full fruition, because they've been working on this for a long time, but they had to be slick with it. Because they could not just come out with it and be who they really want to be. And so we have got to wake up, folks. And also we've got to know that we've got a voice. As long as we sit back and we say absolutely nothing and act like we're blind and just a few of us speak up, then Houston, we got a problem. We've got a problem. And then two, I think the tactics too are they are making Biden look so bad. Biden walked into a mess. He walked into a mess. Trump with his lying behind. He didn't hardly know in Black history, he got names wrong, who did what. Now, you know the illiteracy on his part, and that might be a little strong, but it is what it is, okay? And then the lies, back-to-back-to-back lies, is amazing to the point where people started counting. If people would just sit down and reflect back on what actually happened during his term of presidency, they would have a whole nother dialogue, okay? And my thing is, you all were talking about soap operas.
Uh-uh.
I used to love.
right.
Today, and I'm telling you, you will fall into the play of them getting your attention, because guess what? Those characters are really realistic in their actions. Okay, it really is, because you can identify with somebody. And I was sitting there, and me, when I was pregnant with my first child, I was living with my husband, and I were living with his mom. And she was eating a sandwich and onion falling out. She talking about, she go, Days of Our Lives. She was going to kick, what's her name, Erica, whatever her name was. I did not catch her on the street and all this kind of stuff. She going to do this, that. I looked over her pastor. I said, Pastor Coleman, Pastor.
Wow.
How you going to jump somebody? I said, this is on TV. And she just laid over. She forgot
that this was a TV show.
And wow. I cracked up. Forgive me, Mom. She's going on to be with the Lord, but forgive me, but it is what it is. We both cracked up. I said, she don't know you from Alice. Okay.
Right.
She getting paid to act stupid. Okay.
Right. Exactly. All day, every day.
She getting paid to men for people to get upset. That's her character. But it is what it is it strikes up something in us because we can identify with it. There's somebody we know. Okay. That we can run the rails on. But anyway, I'm just listening to everything. And Dr. Demme, I'm really being more attentive to this voting season, this particular voting. And I'm itemizing everything, because they send some literature in the mail, and I wanted to tell people, be careful how they send, because one ballot they're saying something else, and another printout they're saying something else can be quite confusing. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do your homework, you put something in the play that you don't want in there. And so
I want
to encourage people to pay attention. Don't do like I used to do, just start marking stuff and say, oh, well, okay. No, pay attention. In fact, I keep my little false ballot beside me, and I mark off stuff so that I'll know when I have my actual ballot, and I'll be mailing that in on this week. I have my actual ballot. I'll know what I'm voting on and who I'm voting for. I don't know them people. Okay.
Right.
But I'm listening tentatively. I'm listening to Bass. I'm listening to the mayor up in LA. I'm listening to them. I watch their history. We got to pay attention, folks. We got to pay attention, and don't wait till voting time to pay attention. Now, Biden can't help it be old. Okay. The Vatican is old. Okay. I'm just saying. Okay. The Vatican is old. They did that on purpose. Okay. And so he can't help it, but I pray that God gives him strength, because this stuff that he's going through is quite wearisome. I pray that God gives this man strength to go through it, but it's doggy dog. And you know what, William, they're not for the people anymore. It's all about power. Mm-hmm. It's all about glory. It's a tug of war between them. Right. It's not about, they don't care if we fall dead, we get shot. They don't care. It's about them, where they can flex and look at each other and say, see, I won over you. Mm-hmm. No, right. What about me? What about this nation supposed to be guided on the betterment of this people? It's not like that anymore.
It's not at all. And excellent points. Excellent point. You're right, Dr. Sims. They don't care. As a matter of fact, it goes a little bit deeper than that. There was a theory one time, conspiracy theory, that there were certain elites or higher ups that they wanted a smaller population, overall world population. Remember, Dr. Sims, I think you brought it up last week, and you said one world nation, or one world order.
One world government.
One world government. And, you know, you heard talk about that, Dr. Demery. Dr. Demery, I want your take on this, too. You've heard the term one world government. And remember that song by Curtis Mayfield years ago, New World Order? Come on, think about it. Listen to the lyrics to that song. And we're going back into the 70s, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, there was a book written that I had mentioned this with before. We mentioned this on this air, and I think, Ann, you looked it up, or somebody looked it up, and it was called The Glass House Tapes by Lewis Tackwood. You know, and how the government was using this gentleman, I'm going to say that loosely, as a double agent. They knew that he was a monster in the street. He was dealing in organized crime and gun shipments and things that were illegal, of course, or just about anything you can think of. But the government hired him as an agent for the government as well. They knew who he was. And in that book, they talk about cable TV. And one thing that shocked me, they said back then, we're talking about the 70s again, I think that book was released in 73. And, it says something about, be careful, while you're watching your TV may be watching you.
Oh, I love that.
Right.
Okay. Right. I'm serious about this now. They talked about in Los Angeles, there was a building, a secret building in Los Angeles. Dr. Demery, I don't know if you know anything about this or not. And I think they called it the Glass House in Los Angeles, and it housed six police agencies. Is there an agency called the CID? I know we got the CIA, but there's a SID or a CID. It was the Los Angeles Police Department, the FBI, but it was a conglomerate of six police departments, and it worked together. So I don't want to hear this garbage about, well, this our databases don't talk to one another, or we don't know this, we don't know that. They know more than they're letting us know. They're letting us know. They know exactly what's going on with the people out here. They can tell you right now, if you got a cell phone in your pocket, they can tell you where you've been. Okay? Because those towers were ping your phone wherever you are. So if you commit a crime and you said, no, I wasn't in that town, then let me see your phone. Okay?
And OnStar, they can tell you exactly where you were.
I got OnStar in my car. They tell me exactly where I'm at. I said, take me home. Okay.
Don't pick your nose, because they can tell you that too.
But Dr. Demery,
I say that, William, and I know you want Dr. Demery. My sister had an accident before she even got a chance to call the police. They were speaking through her speakers. Miss, I won't say her last name. We saw you. It wasn't your fault. We got it coming to you. And it scared her so bad. She didn't know it was that sharp. So it is what it is.
Hey, technology is something. It's a bittersweet pill, because it is great in some areas. But I tell you what, technology, and especially social media, used improperly, which is gone rapid now. It's like a virus. It's a virus that penetrates, you know, the entire airwaves. But anyway, Dr. Dimmer, do you know anything about this police building I was telling you about? Called the Glass House.
I think I briefly heard of it, but I don't know anything about that or who it's made up with or whatever. Yeah.
It's not publicized, but I want your take on anything that you've heard here tonight from voting. Oh, I did want to talk to you about, and Ann just said that voter intimidation is a crime. Okay? You're a former police officer, Dr. Demery. If police know that there's a crime being taken, whether reported or not, especially if it's reported, they know about it, aren't they supposed to do something about it? And if voter intimidation is a crime, how come they don't lock these jokers up that's out there intimidating the voters with AR-15s and AK-47s?
Yeah.
Well, what I did at my church, because I really tried to separate church and state and keep that issue out of line, but I try in all of the things that I can not influence my church people or people that are in privy of my voice. I try to get them to think, because it's unfortunate. People don't read anymore. People don't write anymore. I wrote a letter to one of my minister friends of mine. She has cancer, and I hand wrote her a letter and sealed it with wax, and she was shocked. She said she hadn't seen that in 40 years. And I said, well, that's still what, you know, some people do. They will handwrite a letter, personalize it with a fountain pen and write people letters and send it to them.
Uh-huh.
And she's shocked that she hadn't seen that in such a long time, and how personal it was and how she really appreciated it.
Uh-huh.
Because she received a handwritten letter in a long time. But the point being is that people don't read, people don't write anymore. They don't sit down and think. Like you said, it's sad to say that people would even have the audacity to think that just because it's on the news, that means it's true. What we did was I got, unfortunately, older people in my church.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was I got them to get up, and we got a panel together, and I got them to talk. Most of these poor people were 75, 80 years old. And they remember what it was like back in the 50s and the 60s in the Voting Rights Act before it was passed, when Martin Luther King went to the White House
where
that bill was signed, the Voter Rights Act. And the thing about it was is that they got up and talked about that. And what I was trying to emphasize to people, I didn't tell them who to vote for. I didn't tell them who I thought was bad or who was good. I told them, think about what you're doing. Think mm-hmm. about who you're voting for, and then you can make a wise choice. So what we did was I had them get up on this panel and talk about all the things and some of the experiences they had 50, 60 years ago. And like Ann said a minute ago, this stuff is coming back to fruition again.
Mm-hmm.
Back to, an ocular. And it's part of what the Book of Revelations is all about. You know, some scholars believe that Revelation was written for the people during that time, 2,000 years ago. But there's a lot of scholars, and it depends on whether you are pre-trib, post-trib, all millennialists or millennialists, and wherever you fall in between there. But, you know, some people fall somewhere in there. And the point being is that, you know, Revelation talks about that which was, that which is now, and that which is to come.
Amen.
And we're in the part where we're dealing with the part of that which is to come.
Amen.
It's going back, and it's repeating itself all over again. And
right.
So when those people got up and talked on the panel that I had them put together, a lot of the younger people, the few younger people that I have in my church, were shocked. They said, well, this stuff is happening all over again.
Yep.
Well, exactly right. You know, if you're not careful, and you don't understand history, like Martin Luther King said, you are doomed for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand history and understand all those things that have happened in the past. I mean, just in our lifetime, at least me and Williams anyway, I don't know how old Dr. Sims, she old as Dr. Black Pepper, so I don't know how old.
No, but I look good
for black pepper.
You do look good at those big sisters. You do. You do look good, big sis. I gotta give you that. You'll be playing. You'll be looking fire every week.
Better than me, you know.
You say older black pepper. You know, I got your number now.
Wow. Totalitarian. We're headed for a totalitarian regime like we haven't seen in 200 years. And if we're not, it's going to happen. And we got to get out and vote.
Got it.
You know, like you know what you're doing, not vote like Dr. Sims was saying, just check off the boxes. Yeah. Know who you're voting for. Know what that candidate stands for. But not only that, know what the candidate's history is. Yes. Here in L.A., we have a big election coming up. I can't vote for it because I don't live in L.A. for mayor. I mean, people don't realize that Caruso was a former Republican.
Indeed. And he changes like the wind.
You got to look at people's history and what they're, because he was supporting, who's that nut that's in office, Yertle, they call him, or whatever, and he looks like a turtle. whatever his name, call his name. He was horrible. So you got to go back and look at the history of these candidates and see where they came from. People don't realize, well, some know it, but they try to flush it under the table, that Trump's father was a Klansman.
That's right.
Get that. Then they say, oh, no, it wasn't. I offended this guy day before yesterday here in the complex where I live. He couldn't figure out why I wasn't voting for Trump.
Oh, Lord.
He was offended that I was voting for Trump. And I just brought up one thing. I said, the man is a thief. He stole White House records and took them. And they said, well, what do you think he was going to do them? He was going to sell them for money.
That's right.
But that paperwork and the information for money. So the point being is, you got to go back and you got to look at the facts. And you have to read, you have to think, and you have to process. People don't even do that anymore. No. It's like I was telling you before, I am appalled at my own denomination. They don't even make people get an MDiv anymore. As long as you have the equivalent of that. In seminary now, they don't even make you take a biblical language. I'm shocked at that. What are we doing?
They don't hardly make you write a thesis of nothing.
Hebrew, I had to take a year of Greek, and now they don't even have to take a biblical language to graduate. I am appalled at that. I am appalled at a minister who does not have any knowledge or wisdom or some forte of biblical languages. How can you get up and preach and you don't know anything about biblical languages?
Come on.
It's horrid. It's horrid. It's just, to me, it's unthinkable. And so the same thing happens when we deal with the politics. I could not get up and vote for someone if I didn't know anything about their past or know anything about where they came from. It's just appalling to me.
Mm. And well said, Dr. Dimon. So what are they, so in seminary now, what are they doing? Taking math and English and going to lunch?
Don't start.
Just go on the internet and get a license. It's not hard. It's not,
you don't have
to go to seminary. You can just go on the internet and get a license to be an ordained minister.
Ordained? Yeah. How you going to?
Oh no, you can get ordained like, you sit down here and next hour you're ordained, okay?
Oh, really?
Right.
Anne is right. You ask a couple questions, but I'm piggybacking on Dr. Demery. They don't even make them write. When I was in school, I had to write a 300-page thesis and a dissertation. Wow. And all of that. I took Hebrew. I had to take all of that, okay?
Wow.
For me to pass through seminary. I call it, you know, college. But anyway, it was seminary.
Right.
And we had to take all of that. We had to study biblical principles, Old and New Testament, you know, all of that stuff. But nowadays, you in 1 week and you're out the next. You're out over
That's
the weekend.
Amazing.
You done passed.
Well, I would be offended if I were you and Dr. Demery. I would be offended if I had to really work that hard. And because obviously you wanted to do it, you were dedicated in doing it. So if somebody can go right on the internet and get a license here in 5 minutes, how dedicated are they? And what do they know? How dedicated are they?
It's almost the same thing. Like, for in Ann's case, if someone were to study law for 6 months and then get a JD, That's nuts. You would say that's insanity.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know, how can you expect someone to pass and practice law with studying it for only 6 months? That's insane.
Right. You know, and the thing,
like you said, William, these preachers that get up and preach, they don't know, excuse my language, what the hell.
That's the preacher, y'all.
I know that part.
They don't know Paul from Silas. They don't know John from Matthew. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It is absolutely nuts. You know, it's just like, what was that? That knucklehead in the White House talking about some, Two Chronicles.
Oh my gosh. You ain't been to church in decades.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they were talking. Somebody was asking what was his favorite scripture. He said, oh, I like all of them.
Oh, he didn't know none. That's what that meant.
And I think
I think you're right. I think you're right, Ann. Two Corinthians. And see
there's a book that Jesus wrote, and then there's a Bible that they wrote. That's what that means.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
They wrote one because they switch it up and they're not doing it. Walked away from the word of God.
So the one they wrote is two Corinthians.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That's like me writing Cecilia chapter 1, verse 2.
I tell you.
Cecilia, no, she did not. Go.
Yeah, dear.
Hey, look here. If that's not enough, you know, I'm going to say something real stupid. If that's not enough to keep you from voting for him, obviously that's not enough, right? Everything. So, you know, you have to, like you guys are saying, be diligent, right? Do your homework. Because a lot of people don't know that Trump used to be a Democrat. And
he did years ago. Yes, he did.
And
he said it.
When he was a Democrat, he said, you know, Republicans are the dumbest folks in the world. He said something like that. He said Republicans are the dumbest in the world, right? And he's proven himself right.
He's proven himself right.
I mean, this is absolutely amazing. The man tells you that he's a crook. Oh, who is that? Oh my God, Maya Angelou. Someone who tells you who they are, believe them.
Right. I tell y'all all the time, Trump don't lie all the time. Many a day. Especially when he tell you he finna do something foul or has done something, he tell the truth.
He did it.
He tell the truth a lot.
Uh-huh.
But this is my thing. If you are wondering if you should vote for Trump, if you are wondering, you know, if we are being alarmist, because very often what happens with the Republicans is that they are into fear mongering. They scare everybody into voting their way. I don't have to fear monger you. All you need to do is pay attention to what has been going on. You have had 3 wake up calls. If nothing else that has gone on since 2016 has, gotten you motivated to get involved in politics, gotten your attention that our democracy is in trouble, made you stay up at night watching the news when you normally don't, then these particular things should. The first one is when you had these white nationalists plotting to kill a sitting governor in Michigan. That was wake up call number one. Wake up call number two was January 6th when they stormed the Capitol. And wake up call number three is somebody breaking in Nancy Pelosi's house trying to kill her and getting her husband instead. If you haven't heard about any of this, if you haven't realized at this point that these people mean business, that they will kill for their point of view, that we have a very serious problem on our hands, I'm sorry, folks. You are not paying attention. You just aren't paying attention. And you are probably going to be one of those people that sits around and waits until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
And we're either A, already in a totalitarian government, as Reverend Demery mentioned, B, we're on the brink, or if not, you know, at the brink of having a civil war, or C, you know, we are just a nation that's completely in decline. We are sitting here, we are letting it happen,
and we're putting blinders on. I mean, you're going to have to fight for it, folks. I don't want to be an alarmist. I don't want to, you know, talk about violence. But these people are willing to kill, in order to get what they want. And I have a serious issue, with the fact that the Democratic side, yeah, we're for the midterm elections talking about MAGA and talking about, our democracy being under attack. Why haven't you been saying this all along?
Mm-hmm.
This should be front headline news for the Democratic Party every single day.
That's right. That's right. You know, I tell you what, the Republicans has a group that I really like, and I'm trying to think of the name of their group. Oh my goodness. And they do not like Trump, and they do not like the MAGA movement. And they put out better commercials than the Democrats. I forgot is it the Lincoln Project? I believe it is. And they put out attacking what's going on here, and they're saying the same things you're saying right now. And I said, wait a minute, hold it. Because see, this thing about turn the other cheek. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you Bible scholars, everything, you say what the Bible means by that, turn the other cheek. But when it comes to, but it also says something about standing up, you know, and fighting too, and fight for what's right. Okay, so, but I'm not a turn your cheek to a kind of guy anyway. I'm not that kind of guy.
It says arm yourself likewise. That's exactly what you're saying.
Okay,
it's a spiritual fight.
See? Well, and we're in one. We're in one, doctor.
A spiritual fight.
We're in one right now. I mean, because he's saying it is absolutely, I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. It is just crazy. It's like these
William,
people.
Please. Can I say something right here when you're talking about there's a group that's for, not for Trump. And I'm going to piggyback on you too, because what has happened when Trump got into office, when he was going to vote, you know, this last time he was voted out. Do you know families separated themselves because there were some for Trump and there were some for, mm-hmm. I experienced that.
Yeah.
And I thought to whatever happened to me making up my mind, I didn't think this was a family affair. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought this was for what I believe would be, expedient for us, not because of who he is and what you think he can do. Okay. Because see, Trump may have done some positives. I will say that.
What?
But he did a whole lot of negatives. I'm telling you, because
he did.
He's a shiesty businessman. That's how he ran this country. He is a businessman. He hook and crook and do everything else. And he make you believe that he's doing for the betterment of you. When the whole time, when I really look at him, he was bringing such a divided nation, divide and conquer. That was his whole aim. Divide the White House. To the point where he was, let me tell you something. When he marched to that church, he sprayed those people, had them sprayed, number one, with pepper spray. Okay. Number one, if you're doing something for honesty, for the sake of the people, people have to look at this and read into this. When he had them sprayed out of his way, come on here. Okay.
All right.
Like he is God. And he stood in front of the church with the Bible turned backwards, and the way he held it like Hitler, that told me then dictatorship. That's what he wants to be, a dictator, and tell people how it's going to do. We're not going to vote. I'm going to be king. In other words, go on and fix your mouth and say you God so you can get striked down. That's what I was waiting on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's his kind of aura to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so with him dealing with Putin too, they both in that same hood rat kind of thing. Okay, I said it, Lord.
She's a hood rat. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you aren't lying. You aren't lying. Go on, please.
Right.
Because
right.
It is true, because people need to watch behavior, and they're not looking at behaviors. They're so busy being God. Oh my God. He's going to be the God that's going to bring us out. No, he's going to be the God that's going to get you killed. That's what he's going to do. Okay. Period. If you don't co-sign with him, if you don't do what he wants, they got this thing set. Dr. Demery talked about revelations. And the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. It's just Amen. Going around in full circle.
Good Lord. Because
if you go back into the Old Testament, there was dictatorship back then.
And of course.
If you hit that cosign, well, what they wanted, they had you killed or imprisoned or enslaved. Okay? So guess what? It's coming back around into its circle. So Revelation is telling you what's going to happen, and people need to just wake up and smell the coffee and stop sitting there acting stupid.
No, that's exactly well said. Acting stupid, Dr. Dummer. I remember when Dr. Dummer, I was in California at that time, right? And I get a phone call. I think I told this story. I'm sure I told this story before. And Dr. Dummer was at the VA. And I didn't know he was at the VA, so I got a phone call, and this fraternity brother by called me. He says, "William," and he was an employee there, so he was whispering, "Man," he started laughing. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Man, Dr. Dimmer's just going off on somebody here in the post office." And so, Dr. Dimmer, you can tell the story, but now if I understand, in the post office, I mean, not the VA, they've got pictures of the presidents, right? And this guy, and there was a picture of Trump there, and this guy behind you, I don't know if he's behind you or in front of you, and said, "God bless Donald Trump." And you say, "God damn Donald Trump."
I had to ask God to
forgive me. Yes, sir.
But I mean, this man was praising him like he was the new Messiah, you know, and whatnot. Now I'm going to say something that's going to be shocking to you.
All right.
But here, out. I'm going to say something that's shocking, but hear what I'm saying. The eschaton and the eschatology of what is happening in this country. Now, I agree with what William said 100%. I agree with Ann, what Ann said a moment ago, and I agree with Dr. Sims. But here is what something is a thought process. Do you know there is nothing we can do about what is happening? Mm-mm. Because it's already been written and Amen. It's going to happen.
Mm.
Sure,
Amen.
We need to get up and fight. Sure, we need to get up and vote. Sure, we need to get up and speak. Sure, we need to have shows like this that raise people's consciousness.
Right.
But one of the things we have to realize, this stuff has already been written 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
What has happened is going to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it. Not because Satan said, "This world is mine. It's been given to me." And that means there's nothing we can do about it other than making sure we're saved.
Right.
You got to have a ticket to get into the Super Bowl. You got to have a ticket to go to a concert. Some churches even sell tickets to go to venues that they have. What right. is our ticket is salvation.
That's right.
Make sure that we got our ticket punched. And when we get up there and they say, when God says, and it's going to happen this way in one way or another, whether you listen to what Paul says or what Peter says, he's going to ask us, "Dimmery, why should I let you into my kingdom?"
Right.
The only thing we can say, it ain't about what I've done.
Right. Yet.
Babies, I've married people. I've done this, I've done that. That don't mean a hill of beans. Mm-hmm. What's going to make the difference is when we say, "Woo! I believe in your son, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
That's what gets me in. Nothing Amen. Else. And like Ann said, I think two or three shows ago, these people that are getting up talking about, you know, church and this and the other, they are false witnesses.
Amen.
They are the Antichrist.
Amen.
If you believe in this MAGA and all of that other stuff, you got the mark of the beast written all over.
Come on.
All right, all right. All
come
right.
on, go ahead and preach now.
All right.
Did you know you can go preach?
Dr. Dimery, I like
Please go on. No, go ahead, Dr. Sim.
Dr. Dimery, and you were right. It reminds me of the five, the foolish virgins and the five wise.
All
and
right, all right.
talking about us getting into glory, and they're waiting on the bridegroom. In other words, there is a preparation method. I'm just piggybacking on you. And my thing is, I tell people that when you lay your head down, people want to wait to the day of judgment for the Lord to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I want to hear that before I lay down, because I have to
analyze all right,
so that I can repent. And I tell people, you better be rapture ready, not trying to get ready, because the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Mm-hmm. You don't know when he's coming for you. Mm-hmm. People think, well, it's going to be a massive great cloud opening and boom. And wait a minute, baby. He's calling people home every day.
Mm-hmm. All right. People all are right. Dying
every day, mm-hmm. some unexpectedly. And some just telling God, I'm tired. I'm ready to go mm-hmm. home. I'm ready to come home. But you know what? You better have your lamp, your oils, your lamp oiled and trimmed and burning bright.
Go ahead now.
Right.
Burning bright is your life. Good now, Lord. I can say I can believe God all I want to, but my Ooh. Life is raggedy and I'm doing every damnable thing that Satan has presented to me. I'm the king kid. And this is, and William, you know, this